What does Advent mean to you? Where has the star of divine light and wisdom led you? Where does it lead you now? In the faith of my childhood, each night of the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we lit the Advent candles in the wreath that graced our table. We got to take turns picking the songs we sang as we ended our time praying together. On the first Sunday of Advent, we also drew names for who would be our Kris Kringle that year. The person in the family that we tried to be extra kind to all during Advent. More than being good for Santa, my parents hoped that we six kids would see this ritual of simple kindnesses done in secret as our gift to baby Jesus. On Christmas Eve, we placed the baby Jesus Hummel in the manger, sang Silent Night, and read the slips of paper where we'd written our gifts of goodness. Lest you get the wrong impression of the six Beckman kids, we didn't always want to be nice to each other, in secret or not. And there may or may not have been occasional arguments over whose turn it was to put the baby Jesus next to Mary and Joseph on the mantle. And there might have been a little eyeball rolling when little Jenny picked drummer boy again. Yet memories of this sweet and simple Advent tradition made a lasting impression on me. Enough so that when my own kids were growing up, we nurtured those same rituals in our home around our Advent wreath, praying and singing and sometimes arguing and focusing on small acts of love done without fanfare. I have warm, bright memories of Advent from my own childhood and from the days when my kids were young. But as I thought of these memories in preparation for this today, I was struck by more than the warmth. I noticed afresh the spiritual practices embedded in those rituals. In October, when I talked about hope as a spiritual practice, I shared an excerpt from Krista Tippett's book, Becoming Wise, and I'll share a snippet of that again because it also frames how I've come to understand the wisdom of Advent. Hope references reality at every turn and reveres truth. It lives open-eyed and wholehearted with the darkness that is woven inescapably into the light of life and sometimes seems to overcome it. Hope, like every virtue, is a choice that becomes a practice that becomes spiritual muscle memory. Those family rituals are part of my spiritual muscle memory. Our practices included sacred texts and music, prayers, candles as symbols of light in the darkness, acts of loving service, and a sense of community. We knew that our family traditions were embedded in the larger community of our church and extended family. While I couldn't have articulated it as a child, I certainly recognized as a young mother that those evenings around the table of both my childhood and with my own family were touched by the sacred, infused with the holy, despite the occasional argument or half-hearted being nice to an annoying sibling. Yet I felt deeply the experience. Even though I couldn't articulate it, I felt the experience of that sacred time, even as a child and a young teenager. Again, not that I could articulate it in this way at that time, but somehow I knew that our family's focus on Advent was somehow an act of resistance to the push of a culture that started the commercial, consumerism-driven Christmas celebration earlier and earlier each year. The loud voice of the mainstream had little to do with the quiet of a simple wreath of candles and a family coming together around a table. This morning, we walk in faith into the wisdom of Advent, a time of slowing down, a time filled with waiting, with expectation, and a time of recognizing the presence already here of the gifts of hope, faith, peace, love, and joy. Can we use this time as an act of sacred resistance and holy renewal? The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. In the next couple of weeks, here in our corner of the world, we face the longest, darkest days of our year. And every year, I am somehow still surprised by the fact that in late November, early December, by 4:30 it's dark, by 5:30 it feels like the middle of the night. Just before we reach the turning point of the solstice, we live with the darkness increasing a few minutes each day. Even as the light slowly returns, we'll still be deep in the midst of the cold, cold days of winter for months to come. And in these final months of 2021, it is impossible to ignore the darkness we experience as a nation and as a world community through the multiple storms of COVID, climate crisis, the stratifying oppression of racism, classism, sexism, authoritarianism. Are you feeling uplifted yet? How I face the cold, dark days of winter reveals a great deal about how I face the winter seasons of my life. Those bright, warm Advent memories I shared with you a few minutes ago are but one aspect of each of those seasons of my life, not the full picture. Their brightness is one piece of my spiritual muscle memory, one bright spark that helps me look clear-eyed into the harder-to-face moments, those trials and tribulations that we each collect in a lifetime. They are the building blocks, though, of hope. A hope that reveres truth, lives open-eyed and wholehearted with the darkness that is woven into the light of life. And they are a building block of the faith that says, I wait in hope, I abide in hope, and I am certain that God's goodness is with me always and in all ways, in every circumstance of my life. All of creation holds God's image. The complex ecosystems of our families of origin and choice, the dark of night, the light of day, the changing of the seasons. It's only my limited human imagination that sometimes forgets to find the God goodness in what I label less good. Joan Chittister reminds me, Winter is a lesson about the fine art of loss and growth. Its lesson is clear. There's only one way out of struggle, and that is by going into its darkness, waiting for the light, and being open to new growth. We know there is rest and ease of working hours in the dark of night. There is no blooming of spring without the deep underground rest of seeds and roots in the dark of winter. Transformation of new growth is nurtured in the sometimes hard to see gift of unexpected blessings within the dark times we face. I recently received rich food for thought in two separate conversations with members of our community, each of whom is facing significant challenges. One woman shared, "I am setting an intention to act as though I've said yes to all of this. I am setting an intention to act as though I have said yes to all of this." The other talked about befriending her challenges instead of battling them. In that space, between the either or of befriend or battle, surrender or resist, winter or spring, is the paradox of both and. It takes courage to befriend a challenge, to say yes to it when we want to scream, "No, not this." It also takes courage to dig deep inside to find the strength of what we might see as our inner warrior. In that paradox of both and, there we can find the mercy of hope, of faith, the gift of grace, a reminder of God's presence helping us make sense of the mystery, or at least helping us to rest in the mystery. For God alone my soul awaits in silence, for my hope is from God. The other paradox that you've already heard me talk about that I will return to again and again is that I know I must come to the silence in some way, individually, on my own, in order to hear God's voice, the voice of divine wisdom within me. I need time in prayer and meditation and my practices that nourish me and build my spiritual muscle memory. I must do the work, thanks to Michael Singer for this image, of pulling the thorn out of the wound and letting the healing begin. I must do that work. And yet, I also know that sometimes I just need another voice whispering to me as the voice of God. And sometimes I need to be the voice of God for someone else. In community, we both give and receive those gifts over and over again. So I ask these questions again, giving a moment of space around them. What does Advent mean to you? Where has the star of divine light and wisdom led you? Where does it lead you now? Befriend or battle? surrender or resist? Can we use this time as an act of sacred resistance and holy renewal? And now I have a spiritual proposition to make. During these 4 weeks of Advent, I would like to invite us as individuals living in community to support each other in building our spiritual muscle memory. What are the practices that nourish and sustain you? Do you have a rich or fledgling meditation or prayer practice? Do you find your way home through song, chanting, kirtan, listening to music? Do you keep a gratitude journal? Read inspiring books, poetry, articles? Do you hike, dance, take long walks? During the week, simply pay attention to where the star of divine light and wisdom has led you. Notice whether you went on the path in willingness or with resistance. Be open to and curious about trying a new practice, or keep up with the beloved practice. There is no should here. There's simply an invitation to shine the light for each other and to share the journey more deeply with each other. So maybe today, starting with our fellowship hour and over the next few weeks, as I come to know you and we come to know each other, we can share what those practices are and how they have fed us and learn from each other. And this week in the office, Roger and I will be working on the newsletter. If you want to use that fancy new email that I have here, RevBridget@unityalbany.org. Email either one of us with some of your practices that feed you, and we can add those resources to the newsletter as well. If there's interest in finding a time outside of the Sunday community sharing hour to share those practices, you can also let me know that, and we'll see what we can do. But I invite you to be as courageous as my teenage students were last year when we explored spiritual practices together, trying on something new, teaching each other what fed and nourished our inner lives, that nourished a sense of belonging to a community that we were walking with, facing whatever came our way. And now I will leave you with this poem, since poetry is one of my spiritual anchors. And this is another one by Jan Richardson. Blessed are you who bear the light. Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and grief. Blessed are you in whom the light lives, in whom the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar where in the deepest night can be seen the fire that shines forth in you, in unaccountable faith, in stubborn hope, in love that illumines every broken thing it finds. May we bear light that illuminates the path for all we encounter. May we listen to the voice of divine wisdom. And may we walk in stubborn hope and expectant, joy-filled faith. May it be so, and so it is. Amen.